open your Bible to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. Look at something we have gone over, but it's been a long while, and I don't know if everybody was here when we did, but we'll look at it again. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So these are, everybody refers to these as the four Gospels of the Gospels. And of course, we know from studying and rightly dividing, remember, study to choose thyself proven, God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you rightly divide this and realize that most of these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most of each book is before Calvary. So there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. The New Testament doesn't start till the death of the testator. So that being said, Matthew, especially Matthew, is the one that everybody targets where they try to get church-age doctrine and cram it into church, which doesn't really belong there. But before the death of on Calvary, before Christ's death, it's Old Testament setting. No New Testament without the death of the testator. But I want to look at the different books today and just kind of figure out, talk about what they focus on, their primary focus. And in Matthew, it says, in verse 1 of chapter 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So it's linking him to David. Remember, he's going to come back rule and reign on the throne of David. That's why he came the first time, and he was rejected. So Matthew connects Jesus Christ to David through his lineage. And Matthew is primarily focused on Jesus Christ as king. That's another reason we can't apply everything to the church directly. Most of the doctrine you're going to get in Matthew is applied to Israel because he's their king. He's our Savior. And he should be the king. He should rule your heart. But literally, it's talking about the king of Israel. So Matthew is primarily focused on him as king. And that's what we're looking at in the Beatitudes, what they call, it talks about the different blessed are they that mourn, and talk about forgiving people and all that, which is all good Bible principles, but it's talking about the constitution of the kingdom and talking about they shall inherit the earth. I don't want to inherit the earth. I want out of the earth. I mean, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, right? But I mean, they shall inherit the earth, talking about Israel. And he's talking to them as their king, even though they're rejecting him. We realize that. But he's primarily focused on Jesus Christ as king. Let's go ahead and write this down. So, primarily as king, the focus. Now, in the book of Mark, it's primarily focused on him as the servant, son of God. Then it talks about, it's more about his humility and his works. Remember, he talks about his baptism, talks about his healing and a bunch of works he does. What it's showing is his submission to the Father, shows him as the servant. And there is no lineage in the book of Mark. A servant doesn't have really a lineage. They don't really care about the servant's lineage. So when they focus on him as king, we want a lineage. Because he's going to show Israel and show us that he's worthy to sit on that throne of David because he comes from that line, just as he was promised to. And when you get to the book of Mark, he's shown more as a servant, and there's really no lineage. The book of Luke, he's shown primarily as a son of man. And it focuses mostly on his humanity. So most of the information It has more information about his, let's see, about his birth, his mother, and his childhood, more than any of the other book. Most of his the information about his birth, his mother, and his childhood you're going to find in the book of Luke. Like I say, that's focused on him as Son of Man. I'm going to move this down a little bit so it doesn't get us confusing. Turn to John, if you would, book of John. Chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So, we'll jump down to verse 10, too. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Talking about Jesus Christ, and the world knew Him not. I look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten Father. As the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John shows him primarily as God. That's the focus, is him as God. And John's a little bit different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because we talked about the fact that, you know, you're looking at the doctrine, and especially Matthew, you're looking at pre-church age doctrine. You're looking at Old Testament doctrine. That's why a guy comes up to him and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "Keep the law." And he says, "Well, I keep the law." And he goes, "Well, sell everything you have and follow me." He doesn't tell him, "Call on me or believe on me." So there's a difference. What, he didn't come for people to believe on him as Savior at that point. He comes for them to believe on him as physical Savior, as their King. He's going to save them from their enemies on this earth. Now, we know ultimately he's the Savior of the world. Anybody that will call on him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's a little bit of difference in the book of John. If you turn to John chapter 3, I want to talk about something that's a little bit misunderstood and confused, and a lot of the hyper-dispensationalists will get all goofy on this John chapter 3 stuff, and they'll say, "Well, this is all talking about Israel." Well, let's look at it and see who it's really talking about. John chapter number 3, verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.'" So a lot of folks will say, "Well, that's pre-Calvary, so that's talking about Israel and Israel's rebirth." We've got a problem with that. First of all, it says a man. Israel's not a man. And then you go get down here to Jesus Christ said, "Except a man be born again." And Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born?" So it's talking about an individual. You get down to verse number 9, and it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye," Nicodemus, "you must be born again." He's talking about a man, an individual, not a nation. So they try to wrestle with that and say that, well, the hyper-dispensationalists say, "Well, that's not, you can't apply anything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John to the church, period. You got to leave that stuff alone." Well, that's not true. John's a little bit different. Right there, it's talking about salvation. Talking about an individual being born again. And individuals are born again in the church age. That they're not born again in the Old Testament. They're born again in the church age. So he's telling him, Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, right? So he knows some things about prophecy. And Jesus Christ is putting some pieces together for him, saying, "Get this, ye must be born again." So it's an individual thing. Another thing that's a little bit of a point of contention here, which shouldn't be, it's kind of ridiculous, but verse number 5, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So, a lot of people like the Campbellites, the Church of Christ, they'll say, "Well, see, you got to be born of water and the Spirit. That means you got to be baptized. But baptism is part of salvation." A lot of folks believe that. Catholics believe that, some of the Methodists believe that, some of the different what you call Protestant beliefs believe that it has something to do with baptism. First of all, they don't even know what baptism is. They sprinkle and put water on people and stuff like that. That's not baptism. That represents that maybe a few spots of you got saved, right? The reason it's immersion is because it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's true baptism. That's why a Baptist church generally says, if you want to be a member of this church, you need to be saved, born again, and you need to be spiritually, scripturally baptized. And really, it doesn't matter who did it as long as you knew that it wasn't about salvation and you baptized the right way. So if you got saved and somebody sprinkled you and you never had been baptized, baptism, scriptural baptism, is a commandment of Jesus Christ. And it has nothing to do with your salvation, but it's about obedience. And it's about a public profession of your salvation. It's a showing of you're dead to your old self and rose again, walking in the newness of life. Death, burial, and resurrection, and death, burial, you. You're dead to you, and you're going to live for him. That's why, but you know, Baptists really, you don't have to get wet at all to get saved. You know, the ones that always pick on the Baptists for everything and pick on baptism, we put less focus on baptism really than anybody does. If you're getting to heaven, it has nothing to do with getting to heaven. It's because you're going to heaven, right? It's just like works. You get to reading in here about works. We don't work to get to heaven. We work because we're going to heaven. And that makes sense. Really, if you think about it, it just makes sense. We love him because he first loved us. We want to work for him because of what he's done for us. We don't have to work for him as a slave, because if we don't, we're going to burn in hell. That would make us less than appreciative of what he's done, and that would make what he's done less than what we needed to get to heaven. That's ridiculous. That would be me saying, hey, I can do something as good or better than Jesus Christ to get to heaven. And that's ridiculous. The only thing I could do is earn my way to hell, and I'd earn that many times over. And when I called on him, trust him for salvation, I got his righteousness. So one day I was on my way to hell because I'd told a lie, or I'd stole something, or I'd lied, or whatever. I'm not going to get into my list. You got your own list. You keep your list to you. I'll keep mine to me, amen. I'm just going to list the simple one. I was a liar, amen, and a murderer in my heart, amen. That was just on 70 this morning. No, just but a murderer in my heart, and I was headed to hell. Even when I was old enough as a boy to realize that salvation, that there was a heaven and a hell, realize that I'd broken God's law, I was headed to hell. But then I realized that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and shed his blood, and called on him, and he gave me his righteousness. Praise the Lord. So I'm glad that Christ did that. That Bible says that for all sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The book says we're all sinners, and it says that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You realize you're a sinner, and you call on Jesus Christ for salvation and trust him and him alone, you're going to heaven. And it's because of him. But I wanted to talk about this a little bit this morning. Matthew, again, points to primarily Jesus Christ shows him as king. Mark shows him primarily as the servant son of God. Luke shows him primarily as the son of man, which focuses on his humanity. And again, that's where we go, you know, that's most Christmas messages are preached out of Luke, about his birth. Because most of the information you're going to find about Jesus Christ's birth, his mama, his mother, and his childhood, you're going to find here. And there's not a whole lot about his childhood, but you're going to find most of it here. It's focused on his humanity. Mark's focused on his humility as a servant, servant son of God. And Matthew's focused on his deity. Now, I might spell that wrong. I never can spell deity right. And then John. Oh, well, it focuses on his kingship. This is his deity. But really, it kind of focuses on his deity, too, because he's the perfect ruler, king of Israel. We call it kingship. I hope that's... I'm getting most of my mistakes out of the way in Sunday school here, I hope. There we go. I had a bunch of them to make here, and I figured I'd get them all out of the way. So anyway, Matthew focuses primarily on his kingship, Mark on his humility, Luke on his humanity, and John on his deity. And this is the book, that John is the book that the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they really have to do some mental gymnastics and spiritual gymnastics to get around this book. I mean, they do it, too. We've talked to them. Scott and I have talked to them in depth and stuff at times. And it's just amazing how you can say, well, right here it says this. And they go, yeah, but that's not what that means. But right here it says this. Yeah, but that's not what that means. Well, here it says this. For I am the Father of one. And, you know, and he's the Creator. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He's the Word of God. He is God. Well, yeah, but we don't believe that's what it means. Okay, so then throw the Bible away and just believe what you want. I mean, you know, or rewrite it. The, you know, the New World Translation. But even in the New World Translation, you can find the deity of Christ. And they say, well, that's not what that means. Okay, well, whatever. We'll find out what it means at the rapture. They'll know what it means. And they're still here. Hopefully they get saved. But you know, the Great White Throne of Judgment, they'll know what that means. You see, He's willing to forget, not throw you into hell because of your sins. He's willing to say, I'm going to overlook your sins because of the blood of my Son. He won't overlook you rejecting Jesus Christ. People go to hell, it's because they reject Jesus Christ. This church age, that's all it is. It's a rejection of truth. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh from the Father but by me. Does anybody have any questions? That's a good question. They believe that part of them, that used to be they were the 144,000. Then when they've got to have more members than that, they believe that some of them will be the 144,000. They believe that if they don't care about your soul, they're worried about theirs. They believe that if they do enough, they can bring in this kingdom. They're part of this kingdom. And they don't believe in a literal hell. They believe hell's the grave. And just all kinds of goofy stuff. Yeah, soul sleep. They believe, what's that? They believe he's the Son of God, but he's not God. So the problem with that is, see, they're right on the edge, because this says, if they believe he's the Son of God, but what it means when the Bible says believing he's the Son of God, you got to match that up with Acts 20:28, where God purchased the church with his own blood. That means he is God, according to John chapter 1. He's not only his Son, but he is God. He's part of the Trinity. And then that's why they attack the Trinity. Because if they can get rid of the Trinity, Jesus Christ is not God. They don't believe in the Trinity. A lot of people don't believe in the Trinity. A lot of Baptists probably out there don't believe in the Trinity anymore. But a lot of denominations don't believe in the Trinity. And it's an attack on the deity of Jesus Christ. But they are more like, Jesus is my brother, instead of Jesus as my Savior. There's a lot of that. And, you know, praise the Lord, we're sons of God. If you're saved, you've been adopted in the family of God. But he's our Savior. So that Jehovah's Witnesses, I mean, when you first talk to them, they believe everything you believe. Oh, we believe that, we believe that, we believe that. And then if you say, well, you believe Jesus Christ is God, oh, no, he's not God. And then they'll start telling you what they really believe. But that's one question that opens up Jehovah's box or whatever. It just opens that thing up when they start admitting they don't believe anything you believe. You know? And yeah, I don't have a bird cage or rat cage or any of that stuff. We don't need that. Well, let me know when they're coming over. We'll fix that. I mean, seriously, all we got to do is talk to them about the Bible for about 20 minutes. They'll never come back. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people that believe that now. There are preachers all over the internet that don't believe there's a hell, and it's not just Jehovah's Witnesses. It's easier to live like you want when you make your own rules. Brother? Yeah, they're all hoping they're going to be part of this kingdom. And the reason people hope is because they're trusting their own works and they're hoping they're doing enough. I mean, we talked about in Hebrews, we talked about rest last Wednesday. And you can rest in the fact that Jesus Christ did enough. He did more than enough. And you can rest in the fact that you can't do enough. and that he did it all, and you just trust him, and that's where you get rest. They don't rest. I mean, there are three people that go around. Well, there used to be three groups that witnessed: the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Baptists. Now it's the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, if you find 25 Baptist churches, maybe two or three of them actually witness. And it's just the reason the Baptists do it is they don't want you to burn in hell. And I know we, you know, the thing about rewards. But honestly, if you're doing it for rewards and you don't care about their soul, you might as well just stay home. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I know the Lord's going to be good to us. He's always good to us and all that. But we ought to have a burden for souls and realize people are going to burn in hell. Amen. And that makes it different. When you're talking to somebody and you don't want them to burn in hell, that's different than when you're talking to somebody because you want another jewel in your ground. And they know it. Yeah. And people do too. I mean, on a carnal level, people are duped all the time. We like to be duped. We like to watch a commercial that shows a $5 cheeseburger that somebody painted the sauce on and think, I've got to have that. We're duped. And we'll get it, and we're disappointed, and we'll do it again later. We like to be duped. But spiritually, people know when they're being messed with. I mean, there's something different. When you're talking to somebody, I was talking to a Catholic guy last night, and he was said, next time around, I'll be 75 years old. And I said, well, praise the Lord, that's good. I handed him a track already, a grace track, and talked to him about the Lord. And he said, yeah, we go to church. We don't go to church regular and all this, but we go. I just went last night. It was last night. I don't know. I can't keep track of when they go. They go whenever usually whenever the bar's closed or whatever. But they went to the, he went, and I said, well, I need to tell you. I want to tell you. I want you to be sure you know where you're going when you leave this world. 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written, you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And if I didn't tell you that, I'd be lying to you and playing games with you. But I said, Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again. He shed his blood for us, and that Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I didn't think about it really, why God had me say it that way, because I really believe he did. When I was leaving, I remember, I thought, I left him thinking, if I don't tell you, you can know you're going to heaven, I'm playing games with you, because that's what their church does. They tell them nobody can know. And when if I told you you can't know, but you have to be here and put stuff in the plate, and you have to say nice things to me and put, you know, and do all this stuff, then I'm controlling you, and I've got control of your destiny in your mind. I don't do what he says. No, if you don't do what that book says, you know, and if I tell you, well, nobody can know, and you bring up 1 John 5:13, well, I don't believe that's what it means. Well, what's it say? It says you can know. You know? And how do you have rest if you don't know? How do you have peace if you don't know? It's just funny because people that read the wicked, perverted, pedophile-written Quran believe it more than most people believe the book, that go to church that preaches the book. You know, I mean, I talk to people all the time, and you probably do too. Well, nobody can know. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever. Nobody can know. I hope so. I sure hope so. Have you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Oh, yeah, I think I've done that. I've done that. Plus, I bought the carpet. Plus, I did this. Plus, I did that. No. Have you really trusted Jesus Christ? That's what boils down to. Because when you really trust him, you can know you're going to heaven. You know? But yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are all... The Mormons are just... They're like the Muslims. They're just waiting to get up there to get Virginians. They're waiting to get up there, and they're going to be gods. You know? And they actually believe that Jesus Christ was such a good man that actually he became a god. He evolved into a god. That's ridiculous. A lot of Mormons don't even know they believe that, but that's what the Mormon church believes. And that's what they have believed for years. That's what they teach. But talking about outreach, I was looking for a set of ramps, lawnmower ramps or whatever, for the truck the other day, and I got on Facebook Marketplace, and there's a guy holding a paperback Bible, and it says free Bible. Then you go down to the description, and it says free King James Bible. I would love to study the scripture, or study it with you, or study scripture with you. And it's got pictures of Mormon kid on it. And I've witnessed him several times over here and in Richmond. Walmart here, and Walmart and Meijer, and different places over there. And even I stopped and talked to him, and we walked down the street a couple times over there. Because they're going to go to hell. You know, and somebody needs to pull them out of that mess, and the Lord can do that. But here they are, they're putting ads on and inviting people to do Bible studies with them. I thought about answering that ad, but I've already talked to him several times. Let's do a Bible study. Come on over. Gateway Baptist Church, bring your crew. But you know, they use the King James Bible, but their authority is not the King James Bible. It's extra canonical writings. The same way with the Jehovah's Witness. Their authority, and they'll say it's the Bible, but actually they started out of this book. They don't use it anymore. It's too hard to defend their stuff against the King James Bible, so they rewrote it, the New World Translation. But their authority is really the Watchtower and other writings. Just like the Mormons, they have a different authority too. But, you know, we say that and we shake our head and it's terrible, but really most Baptists have a different authority. I mean, they believe the book, but they don't go by it. I mean, you know, sit down and write down. Don't depress yourself too much all at once, but take it easy over the week and just write down when you went against the Word of God. Write down the times you went against the Word of God. And then look at the Mormons and not feel sorry for them. I think it's connected, yeah. But yeah, it is. It was a 600-winged angel or something to give them that. This is the same thing with Muhammad. Muhammad and Joseph Smith, and them, they've got all the same family, same group. But God did say, talk about another gospel, even if you get it from an angel. It's talking about church age. So, yeah, Brother Paul. No. No, I mean, I don't know exactly what all is in theirs. I've looked at different verses in theirs. I haven't read through their whole thing. I think it'd be a waste of time. But yeah, most of the perversions out there, you could actually lead somebody to the Lord with. There's enough truth in there, left in there, to lead somebody to the Lord with it. But they hit the deity of Christ all the time. The two things they attack the most is hell and the deity of Christ, because if there is no hell, it doesn't matter. You're just going to... The Jehovah's Witnesses actually believe that they just don't exist. So they want to exist forever, so they're trying to do right so they get part of this kingdom. Otherwise, they just don't exist. Yeah, and then it's annihilation at the end where their soul just disappears. It's just crazy stuff. But the Mormons... I don't want to tell you anything wrong about it. We'll do a study on it. Maybe we'll deal with the Mormons in the next few weeks, because we've done it before, and I want to get there's some really interesting details. But one of the things they do believe is that they get to be gods, and that Jesus Christ was such a good man that he became God, and they want to be like him. They want to be Christ-like, so they're going to be so good. And that part of it's their dress and everything else. I mean, think about it. They dress in black and white. They have these rules they have to dress a certain way, and it's for appearance, and it's probably also for uniformity, so they're not competing with each other. That's what a lot of that dress code stuff's for. And it's probably not a bad idea in some cases but the reasoning's different. I mean, you work for GE, you gotta look like you work for GE. I understand that, but the reasoning is different. And then you've got a 18-year-old boy that's calling himself an elder running around. And he really doesn't know anything. I mean, they've had a lot of, they don't know any Bible. But probably the easiest way to deal with just some kind of a low-level entry way to get in there and start dealing with their heart is, hey, you and I both believe King James Bible. Oh, yes, we believe that. We don't believe that. We believe King James Bible. Well, that Bible talks about heaven and hell, and it talks about the blood of Jesus Christ, and it says Jesus Christ is God, and we have to trust him to get to heaven. I mean, if they're not going to listen to that, they're not going to listen to anything else anyway. But we'll probably do a study on that in the next few weeks on Mormonism. Maybe Jehovah's Witnesses are pretty we've pretty much covered that.